Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app, which allows you not only to listen to the show, but also view it in our webcams. We have a bunch of webcams set up in our studios. And check it out. Go to KTTH.com. I am going to stop you from going blind if you're dumb enough to stare at the sun. And that's what's trending.
What's trending? Your health.
Here is my tip to stop you from going blind. Do not stare at the sun. That's it. That's the tip.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Apparently people didn't know that because there's all sorts of stories up, as they tend to go up around any solar eclipse, telling you not to stare directly at the sun, while simultaneously telling you there's a cool thing happening at the sun that you should see. So it's almost like they're sending two completely different messages at
really
the exact
fair.
Same time. This is the equivalent of you saying, don't ever say bomb in an airport. And the first thing you want to do is say, bomb! That's what this is. Don't stare at the really cool thing that's happening right now that is relatively rare, although it feels like it's less and less rare. I feel like we do these stories every single year, maybe twice a year, right? Don't we do clip stories a lot? Who cares? I mean, I guess people care. It's happening on Monday. The moon will cover 20% of the sun. You're going to stare at it for a second before, oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that, and then immediately go blind or not. I don't know. They do say, is this a way to go around, and talk about this honestly? You're 20% less likely than normal to go blind?
I would have to check
the math
on that. I don't know if that math checks out.
Okay. Well, here's a doctor who says he knows. His name is Dr. Russ Van Gelder. And when you have a van in the middle of your name, that means you're probably smart. Or like Stefan from college. He had a van in the middle of his name. I don't like him.
You can get damage even in just a few seconds of direct sun gazing. And if you're over 20 to 30 seconds, there's a high likelihood that you're going to end up with some damage.
They never say what the damage is in those clips. It's not total blindness, is it? I feel like we would have more, because there's a lot of dumb people out there. We probably would have more blind people.
Maybe.
That's what you had to, that was your response. Maybe.
I mean, yeah, it's an interesting proposition.
It was an observation. I'm not proposing people look up. It just seems like, what is the actual damage? Now, he gives a quote from, I believe this was King 5 originally, that doesn't make any sense to me. It says, if you look straight into the sun, it's about a million billion it's a million billion. Is there not a number for that? Is that not a trillion?
Maybe just they're trying to put it in layman's terms.
No, I think it's a number like a million individual billions. So a million billions or a million billion. I thought that there would just be a number.
I was never good at math.
It's like saying there are 10 100,000s. You mean a million? Yeah. Well, why not just say that? So I'm wondering if there's just not a number for that. But he says, it's about a million billion photons per second that hit the surface of the retina. But that's it. Doesn't tell you what that means. I surmise it's bad based on the context of the article and the context of the, the headline. Here's how to safely watch Monday solar eclipse in the Seattle area. But why not just tell? Maybe it's not as bad.
How am I supposed to know what a photon is?
I think a photon is like an electron, but from the sun in a energy way or something.
I think you're on the right track.
It's energy.
Yeah.
It's bright. Or it comes from something that's bright. I know that. He suggests using a pair of glasses with solar filters, which can be found at some stores and online. They should come with a certification that includes the ISO number 12312-2:2015. Got that? Say it back to me. You're going to go blind! Ha ha! I mean, okay. You want to know what really is going to happen on Monday?
What?
Hold on. Let me look at my weather app, because I'm going to guess there's going to be a ton of clouds. Let's see. So cloudy today, tomorrow clouds, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Oh, yeah, all clouds. It's going to be cloudy. You're not going to be able to see anything. Now, tomorrow, Cliff Mass is going to be on the show to tell us if there's going to be anything happening weather-wise that might actually make this worthwhile. But it feels like we're telling everybody, don't look at the sun, which if you don't already know, you're probably blind because you looked at the sun. And you're not going to be able to see it anyway.
You feel like it's going to be a massive dud.
I feel like it's always a massive dud. And the thing is, normally when you tell me not to do something, I want to do it. I have such little interest in a solar eclipse that I don't even want to do what you tell me not to do. That's how it's. I view the solar eclipse the way I do fireworks. In theory, it sounds interesting, I guess, but probably not all that interesting if you show up, so I just don't show up. It's kind of that. But other than that, I think it's sounds exciting and science or something. I seriously, I don't know what to say. Don't look at the sun. That's why are we still telling people that?
It's only like 10 seconds anyway, so it's like it's always kind of like, eh.
The one thing is, we always tell, here's the difference. This is why these stories are so stupid. After you tell people warnings around fireworks about how they're dangerous, you shouldn't allow your kids to play with them, you shouldn't do it, leave them in the hands of professionals, while simultaneously we want you to support our Native American tribes, so, you know, go shop there for the fireworks, but don't ever use them, just give them money. Then a few days later, or the next day, you do a story about someone blowing off their hand. Right. It's, you know, a 12-year-old from Puyallup blows off his pinky, or, you know, a drunken college student over at, I'll be different, PLU, they blew off their hand while they were drunk fireworking. And going into these stories, you get, studies show that there's a 7% rise in hospital visits, emergency room visits after 4th of July fireworks. After these stories about the sun and the eclipse and blindness, you never have a follow-up of a 13-year-old from Monroe stared at the sun for 40 seconds, getting his retinas filled with photons, millions of billions of them, and now he's blind. Now, you don't ever get that. So maybe you can stop doing these stories because everyone kind of knows not to. You know how you know why you shouldn't stare at the sun? Because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it hurts.
Because it hurts. That's how you know.
But we have sunglasses.
Oh, my God. But you can't. They say it has to have solar filters.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what that is. I mean, it's a solar filter, but, you know.
I like how it said you can find it online and at some stores. Like, thanks for the really vague directive.
Not even a direct link to an Amazon page where I can buy the stupid sunglasses. God. Watch there on Tuesday. In tragic news, a 7-year-old from Bellingham stared a little bit too long and is forever changed. What? Because you're looking at the next story we're doing, and I just realized it. And that was not done intentionally.
Sure it wasn't.
I swear it wasn't. Push the button. I feel bad now.
What's trending? Safety first.
Yeah, we're going to talk about someone who's actually blind. That was not intentional.
Perfect segue.
I swear to God that was not intentional. We have a story that, look, I am not in the camp that's about complaining about accessibility to the point where you don't give some level of understanding to cities and counties that you're never going to be able to fix everything that could inconvenience someone or even just be dangerous who's in a wheelchair or who is blind. Like, you should make your best effort, but things happen sometimes. And, you know, people are driving over things and walking over things, and the concrete tends to break up and something happens. Address it when you can. But the people who go like overboard and like, I can't believe in this one spot, there's this crack here, got to fix all the cracks. I said, well, no, okay, relax. I am, however, on board the, why isn't there a sidewalk here, but you have people walking on this piece of land? What are we doing here? What are we doing, Puyallup? What are we doing? Like, you put a sidewalk. That part I'm totally okay with. And this kid, who they don't say how old he is, I don't think, in the story. I can't tell if he's a late teen or maybe early 20. I don't know.
He seemed like a teenager.
Was he? But they said he was going to a college.
Well, you can be a teenager in college.
Oh, so he's just brilliant.
I mean, you usually,
because he's blind, you're just giving him that extra.
Well, usually you go to college when you're 18.
It's condescending. It's condescending is what it is. His name is Charlie. Seems like a good kid. He was all like, hey, I have to walk to my school, and there's no sidewalk here. It's incredibly dangerous. I can't see. My ability to just live my everyday life is kind of being impacted. Can we maybe, you know, I don't want to be a pain in the backside, but can we maybe do something about it? And he connected with an organization called Disability Rights Washington, and they actually got the city to do something. I don't think they've completed it yet, but they've at least agreed to put up the sidewalk. Charlie spoke with King 5.
I can only see about, like, I guess, like 5%. It made it very difficult as somebody with a visual impairment. I feel, like, proud and appreciated. It's going to make it so much safer.
Good for this kid. I like it. Again, even when it's about a political issue I don't care about, this isn't political, but even in those cases, when young people get more involved and they start sort of doing their civic duty and engaging in some level of advocacy, even when I disagree, I do kind of like it, because generally we don't get that level of interest from kids about anything tied to the government, right? That they're not even interested enough to complain about something that is reasonable to complain about. And so this kid stepped up in a big way and actually accomplished something. Cecilia is a community organizer with Disability Rights Washington. And she points out, this is kind of a big deal, the whole no sidewalks thing.
It's a huge problem, you know, for all pedestrians and especially people with disabilities. There's 11,000 blocks that are missing sidewalks. Most often we have to use the street, and that is a really dangerous place to be.
Yeah, obviously. Especially if you're blind or you have, you know, low visibility, 5%. Like, yeah, I don't want the kid wandering around in the street. Now, this is not like the case we talked about a couple weeks ago with the mailbox that was across the street from a busy intersection. Just move the mailbox. It's really that simple. This is not that simple. Do the work. Kudos to Charlie for bringing this up. And it's not even just about helping himself. It's about helping everybody. There was a stretch of land in Bremerton that I was driving on at night, and it was awful, and there was no sidewalk, and there were two people just driving through. And I was thinking to myself, I could have just easily hit these people. Easily just hit these people if I wasn't paying attention, because you can't even see them because it's just dirt on the side. It's just, I don't understand why we can't figure this out. It's not that difficult.
Like, they're always wearing like all black too. And it's mm-hmm. like,
maybe they're asking for it. Is that what you're saying? Is that your hot take? Because that's insensitive.
I mean, it's smart.
Also, it could be true. It's not smart. Push the button.
What's trending? The economy.
So California decided to move forward with a minimum wage increase for fast food restaurants, $20 an hour. And it's already a total disaster. It's already a nightmare. Why? Very simply, $20 is more than what a fast food worker is actually worth. It really is that simple. And as a result of this decision, guess what they decided to do? Oh, yes, they decided to start letting people go. And eventually, they're going to cut down hours of some of the people that they've kept on. There is this belief that because you work at you own a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box or whatever it is, that you must be uber wealthy, because the companies that own, like McDonald's, has millions and billions and trillions of dollars. It has $1 billion. It's like, no, these are shops that are owned by individual people who, you know, they might be doing all right, I guess. But let's you know, dial it back just a little bit, because these are average small business owners. So they did it anyway, and now as a result, people are complaining that they're losing their jobs. There's a former assistant manager of a Foster's Freeze out of California named Monica. She was on Fox Business today. And she said the owner told her that the reason why they're closing, going that extra step, is the minimum wage hike.
I did get a chance to speak to him. He did blame it on the minimum wage increase. Although, from my understanding, I think we were exempt from it because of the amount of locations that he personally owns. But he did ultimately blame it on that increase. Mm-hmm.
So, again, you can kind of see these kinds of things coming. Anyone who studied this even for a little bit and had an honest look at the data would tell you this was the obvious response. And again, you can go into Seattle, and I wrote about this in one of the chapters of my book, What's Killing America. They decided to go to $15 now, right? What happened right after that? the people who were the lowest skilled workers ended up either losing their jobs or having the hours cut. The people who had the lowest skills looking for jobs were less likely to find the jobs. The younger the person is, the harder it was for them to find work. That is the reality. That is the reality. And so that was just about $15. Now you're going all the way up to $20. What'd you think was going to happen? Seriously. And these are people who you told you were going to help by raising the minimum wage. Monica is someone you said you were going to help. You were doing it for them, for their benefit. And no one ever steps back and says, okay, my bad. We actually hurt the people we said we were trying to help. Instead, oh, they're lying. All these businesses, they're just doing it to spite us. Yeah, they closed down their business to make a political point. That's they have no interest in staying in business. They are just interested in saying, take that, Gavin Newsom. Take that, Democrats. And of course, when you are asked, which would you rather have, your job at the last wages or no job with no wages, it's pretty clear where people would rather be.
From the people that I spoke to, my employees, we would have rather stayed at the wage that we did have before, mm-hmm. just because now we don't have a job. And those who are still working in the areas around us that went up to $20 an hour, they got their hours severely cut, and it's a lot less people working on shifts, so their jobs got a lot more difficult.
Weird. It's almost like data said exactly how this was all going to unfold. It's almost like you could write the script of what's going to happen. So odd. She then said California politicians are really hurting people. They don't seem all that interested in hearing that message, but that's what they'll do. They'll tell you still, however, that they're helping.
I can see their intentions with increasing the minimum wage, thinking that it will attract more people, but I honestly don't think it'll work. This is not the first business that's closing. There's already a few local businesses for me that are closing, so I feel like this is just only the beginning.
It is only the beginning, and remember, just keep in mind something, and it's true in Washington, Oregon, and a lot of other blue states, but certainly blue cities will get hit hard. The cost of doing business already is very, very high, right? But before the minimum wage hike, especially when we're talking about restaurants where the margins are very, very thin, you're dealing with the Biden inflation. You're dealing with the fact that there's a high likelihood that you're going to be broken into multiple times. And so you're spending a whole lot of money fixing whatever gets broken and stolen, replacing whatever gets stolen. And then on top of that, to get hit with the $20 minimum wage hike, it's just too much. It is just too much. And there you go. Now you got even more people out of work. But I'm sure they'll come up with another brilliant scheme to then help those people, which will sound a lot like a universal basic income scheme, which also doesn't work. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? LGBTQIAADFHZ plus.
So there's a story that is simply unbelievable. It is 100% unbelievable. You have folks who are telling you that 1 in 3 LGBTQIA2S++ individuals as adults say that they're being treated unfairly by their doctor. And the second I saw that, I immediately knew that this had to have been a politically infused survey that wants you to think that so they can blame Republicans for their quote unquote attacks on the trans community. We have never, ever, ever in our lifetime, in any lifetime, lived at a time where LGBTQ adults have been given more acceptance, more tolerance. Never. Tomorrow, there will be more tolerance for LGBT adults than today and yesterday and the day before that. Every day, people become more and more and more tolerant. So I find it hard to believe that some 33% of adults said that they were treated unfairly or with disrespect, or, and here's where the little caveat comes in and how they're determining the framing of this, quote, had at least one negative experience with a healthcare provider. One negative health, what does that mean? Negative health experience because you're gay or lesbian or transgender, or you just had a bad experience and you happen to also be trans or lesbian or gay. Now, the report came from the Kaiser Family Foundation. They said of the LGBTQ, this is per NBC News, of the LGBTQ adults who reported negative experiences, 61% said a provider assumed something about them without asking. Oh no. Oh my God. They might have assumed that you might be female because you've got, you know, female body parts. I bet you that's what they're talking about here. And I'm willing to bet that the doctor was, the assumption was made when you made the phone call and you said your name was Chris. And they said with a K instead of with a C, and you're not done going through hormone therapy and your voice still sounds female. And so they thought you were female and listed you as a female. And the second you came in and said you're trans, they changed the way that they were talking to you and about you. But they probably still treated you as a female because they kind of have to do that. Otherwise, whatever it is you're going in for probably isn't going to get fully addressed. I'm willing to bet that's what it is. They say suggested they were personally to blame for a health problem. Yeah, that's usually the case. Not always. It's like, oh my God, I am not feeling too well. I'm so tired. How many hours of sleep do you get? Probably 4 or 5. Okay, the other is because you don't sleep enough. Are you blaming me? Well, I'm just saying that you don't sleep what you're supposed to, and that's why you're tired. Or ignored a direct request or question or refused to prescribe needed pain medication. Okay. You thought you needed certain pain medication. Your doctor did not. They said no because there's that whole opioid epidemic thing going on, and that's why you're mad. You see, the whole reason why we started to see the opioid epidemic coming specifically from doctor's offices was because you get a survey after seeing your doctor, and they say, do you feel like you've been listened to and got everything you needed out of the appointment? No, I wanted the Vicodin. They didn't give it to me. Or the Oxy. They didn't give it to me. And so doctors started to say, okay, they want Vicodin or OxyContin. I got to make sure that I get a good survey result here or I'll get fired. Here's some drugs. That's how they go into saying LGBT people are upset with their doctors.
You're such a conspiracy theorist.
They asked for meds, and the doctor said, no, that's for diabetics. You're fine. What? Huh? 1-800-465-8770 for your text.
The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft on crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
And you keep on bringing these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
So Jimmy Failla is coming back to town. He's playing in Federal Way. He's got a show on Friday night, doors open at 7. The event itself starts at 8. There are a handful of tickets still available at the Federal Way Performing Arts and Events Center. You can purchase tickets online. You can just Google An Evening with Jimmy Failla at Federal Way or go to their website directly, fwpaec.org. It's happening tomorrow night, Friday night at 7 p.m. Doors open. You're going to have a blast. We don't get a chance to have him out here all that often, but this time, you know what? You're not going to miss out on it. You're actually going to take advantage. And just to give us a little bit of a preview of how things are going to go, welcome back to the show, my friend, Jimmy Failla.
Well, one thing I will tell you, Rance, is the correct thing for a guy to say who's coming to town to perform is like he's excited for the show, he's excited to meet the fans. But I'm actually excited to venture into Seattle because I go to a sandwich shop called Paseo.
Yep.
Which is not far from where the Seahawks play.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily Campagna, one of my fellow Fox people here, hipped me to Paseo. And I have to go there like behind enemy lines because the wardrobe department doesn't want me eating carbs. So I'm excited to get off the grid and eat some black market Cuban sandwiches.
Oh, it's very good. I will say this because she might not realize that it's under new ownership and it has been for a while. However, the sandwich is just as good. Some people go to the guy's new shop. I can't even remember what it is. That did not go well. Yeah. So Paseo is still the place to go. So you're still making the right choice. What do you get when you go there? You just get the Cuban?
Yeah, it's a Cuban. I've only been there once. It was a slam dunk. It was last year when I played Federal Way. And I want to tell you this, and your audience, the KTTH audience, deserves the credit for this. You cannot offend this comedy audience. And I have tried everything. I mean, what a wonderful group of people to do comedy for. And it's funny because the Federal Way Performing Arts Center, as you know, is like, it's fancy. It looks a lot too classy for my act. But we really did make it work. So in that regard, I'm excited to go back and cheat comedy death a second time.
Well, it has to feel good given the fact you just put out a book called The Cancel Culture Dictionary. I mean, you know, I covered a story not too long ago of a Seattle comedy club ditching four comics because the community was upset. And, you know, it's refreshing, I suppose, to not have to deal with that.
Oh, isn't it ever? And you know what's happened? Like, we've kind of turned the corner despite things, you know, like what you're talking to. And I'm familiar with all the comics, Dave Smith and Kurt Metzger and Jim Florentine, who was one of the puppet masters on Crank Yankers on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Whenever you hear something like the community doesn't share these values, it's never the people who actually frequent the thing being canceled. Yeah. Like a good example of this would be Roseanne. Okay. Neither one of us can condone what Roseanne tweeted about Valerie Jarrett. But the people who freaked out were not the people watching Roseanne's sitcom. It was the people that were never going to watch it in the first place because they already hated her. And that's where society is turning a corner on cancel culture is kind of we know who it is now. Meaning there were always people who got mad at comedians. We just didn't call them cancel culture prior to social media. We just called them losers, you know? And I think we've had that awakening as a society. And I think it's easier now to be a comic than it had been, I think is the best way I'd say it.
Yeah, I was just talking about cancel culture on the show yesterday. I mean, there's a difference between the legitimate market saying, I don't find this person funny, or I find it too offensive, or this person did something that just turned me off and I was previously a customer or a viewer or whatever it is, versus what you're just talking about, which is the, I'm going on Twitter, I'm going to claim, unless you fire so-and-so, I will never be purchasing a product again. And you're like, when was the last time you purchased that product? Never, but still, listen to me. It's so annoying and so contrived, and I think the left does it really, really well, but the right is starting to understand you kind of have to have a circumstances of mutually assured destruction.
Yep. And we're definitely getting there because your point is illustrated perfectly in the sense that no one is as offended as they're claiming to be. It's just that we've incentivized outrage. There's a currency that comes from saying I'm mad, and usually that accompanies bigger named comics. Like there's a reason they protest Dave Chappelle's Netflix special and not the guy getting paid in chicken fingers at Jazz Hands Comedy Club in Parsippany, New Jersey. You know, because there's no relevance to be gained. So I think now that we have kind of that clarity, I think, you know, the climate around comedy clubs is improving. But I want everybody to understand it was never that bad because the comedy patron, to your point, was going to comedy to laugh. They weren't going to ruin the comic's career. So, yes, with all due respect to Vegans for Progress, I'm not concerned with their threats to boycott my steakhouse. Yeah. They weren't coming.
Precisely. And let's be honest, they don't have the physical stamina to actually do a significant protest outside of that restaurant because they need to eat some more. Let's be honest, they need more iron in their blood.
Yeah, if we're going to do that, yeah, and they're going to bury the lead of the cancel because they've got to work the veganism into the first sentence of the statement. So, yeah, you're good. Don't let the vegans protesters scare you.
Exactly. We're talking with Jimmy Failla, an evening with Jimmy Failla, Friday night at the Federal Way Performing Arts and Event Center. There are a handful of tickets still available. Make sure you purchase them immediately. You can go direct to the website FWPAEC.org. So FW, like Federal Way, PAEC.org to purchase some of the tickets. Do you remember an instance in which someone, either on the comedy side or just entertainment in general, was quote unquote canceled for the right reasons?
Yes. You know, R. Kelly is an easy one. Like if you were getting into ones where the law was involved, it's easy. But when you get into the actual art itself, really, no, you know, because the original one in the social media age that really popped, okay, was Kathy Griffin. And I would say yes, because that was grotesque and it definitely went way too far, you know, but getting past that, because that wasn't even, maybe she thought it was comedy, but that was activism gone awry. And I think she's probably the one I could point to that did deserve it because they were leading us, they were kind of marching us into this place of depravity that everybody seems to forget. But what greeted Trump's inauguration was not peaceful protest. They blew up a limo on the inaugural parade route. Windows were blown out in windows in downtown D.C. And they were never, you know, although they fancied themselves some type of resistance, you know, that's there was no civility to the Trump era. And most of that instant lack thereof came from the other side. So I'd say Kathy Griffin deserved it just because she was ushering in an era of malicious comedy that wasn't even attempting to be funny. It was just, you know, we always call like Colbert activism masquerading as comedy, but Colbert's at least smiling. He's not holding a severed head. He's simply doing a dance in a paid musical infomercial for Pfizer.
Yeah.
Setting back comedy, to be sure, but it doesn't seem to be from that place of violence.
I think that's a great assessment. I mean, I don't think she needed to be interviewed by the Secret Service because she obviously did not pose an actual threat. I'm not going to say that wasn't the funniest part of her bit, having to be interviewed by the Secret Service. I did get a chuckle out of that. Yeah. But, you know, I think you're right. And obviously, it certainly seems by all the polling that we're going to be headed right back to that direction. Do you think that anyone has truly learned their lesson? If we get a second Trump administration, are we going to go back to where we were just a few years ago with just outrageous attacks?
We're kind of doing it now. Like, we're pretending we haven't lived through a Trump presidency. And it's kind of like the same manufactured hysteria that greeted his entry into politics. It's like everybody you know who said we're all going to die, he's some comparison to Hitler or some other horrific figure. These were people who literally employed him at NBC for 15 years. You know, it's like when you think back to Saturday Night Live crying and playing Hallelujah on the first episode following his win, this is a show he had hosted twice in the previous 5 years. So this idea that we were all supposed to just adopt this performance art headspace where we really believed, you know, there was an existential threat amongst us. I'm like, well, just a reminder, you owe that existential threat royalties for the last 15 seasons of primetime programming on your network. And so, yes, I do think everybody's fully capable of throwing the masks back on and doing the play. And I think they will if it's rewarded with relevance, because that's where it came from.
Yep.
Comics that I respected, you know, eventually jumped into the Trump thing. It's like, you know, when they canceled Louis C.K., a lot of them, you know, conveniently forgot that he wrote an op-ed that said Trump is literally Hitler. That's what the op-ed was. He said, this is not exaggeration, not hyperbole. Hey, guys, this is what Hitler was doing. This is how it started. Now, I'm going to be honest. I've never seen Hitler's version of Celebrity Apprentice. I didn't know
it
much about
it. It would have been efficient.
Talk about that. That's funny. And, you know, I think the reality is, okay, that they'll get back into that because there's a currency. That's what we keep coming back to. In the age of social media, that digital dopamine really incentivizes a lot of embarrassment, a lot of pandering, and a convenient divorce from reality for a lot of people.
Evening with Jimmy Failla, Federal Way Performing Arts and Event Center, Friday night, 8 p.m. The good news about being one of the few people who's able to get some of the remaining tickets, and there are very few tickets available, is that after the show, you can even listen to the Jimmy Failla show on KTTH. Boom. It's weeknights from midnight to 3. So you get a whole bunch of time with Jimmy. And, you know, I mean, perhaps the family would prefer not to do that. But, I mean, people who don't spend 24/7 with you, I feel like they would love it.
Yeah, because you want to know what it is. You come to the show and you get to like stand behind the magician, because when you're listening to the radio show that night, you know, you've already seen, you see where the rabbit goes. You see all the thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is how he guesses a jack of clubs. And it's like you're listening to the show with a higher security clearance. It's almost like in the movie White Men Can't Jump. There's a great scene where Wesley Snipes, it's one of the rare scenes where he's not being investigated for tax evasion, but Wesley Snipes leans up in the car and says to Woody Harrelson, he goes, white people, he goes, you guys listen to Jimi Hendrix, but you can't hear Jimmy. And going the Federal Way is a chance to not only listen to Jimmy, but now you can hear him, because you're doing it from another place of information. So I'd advocate working the double. You know how they had Barbenheimer, where you did Oppenheimer and Barbie? This is your opportunity to see me as Barbie and as the bomb maker. I mean, what's not to love
I love it. And you'll get, you'll be treated with topical humor, like a White Man Can't Jump reference.
The year was 1992. Oh,
that was a very underrated film. I feel like people forgot that movie, and that was a very good film.
Well, I am involved, since you want topical humor. I'll make some airplane references, because I'm involved in a mini scandal involving Kareem Abdul-Jabbar right now.
Oh,
that's
really?
Been solved for the better. But yeah, it's a really funny story for another time. It's not.
I can't wait. Are you, maybe you'll bring it up on Friday night.
I have to. I'm going to open the show, because the reason I'm there is because we've worked out another issue that involves my Saturday night TV show.
Oh, wow.
Is all I will say.
Okay. So well, now I am very excited. And now I know this is the perfect reason for you to finally just pull the trigger, purchase the tickets. It's FWPAEC.org. Or, of course, you can just Google An Evening with Jimmy Failla in Federal Way. It's at the Federal Way Performing Arts and Events Center Friday night. Doors open at 7. You can bring a copy of his book, Cancel Culture. You can even get a ticket for the pre-show personal photo op and a copy of the book, Cancel Culture, so he can sign it. And I know everyone's going to have a great time. Jimmy doesn't get to come out to Washington State all too often, so when he's here, make sure you guys take advantage of it. Again, it's on Friday night. Few tickets are still available. Starts at 7. Doors open. Starts at 8 for the performance. Jimmy Failla, thank you so much for stopping by, my friend.
You're the best, buddy. I owe you big. Take care.
Absolutely. Take it easy. Again, go to the website or just Google An Evening with Jimmy Failla. You'll be able to purchase your tickets for Friday night, doors at 7. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. We'll be back with some quick hits right after this.
The Jason Rantz Show.
Let's bring in our man in the Pacific Northwest, KTTH, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rantz. Great to have you with us to tell people a little bit more about this.
Jason Rantz is in focus now.
Jason Rantz, thank you for your reporting on that.
The quick hit.
There's a fascinating story courtesy of Fox News. We kind of hinted at it yesterday. We just didn't have enough time to do it. But J.K. Rowling, who, of course, is best known as the author of the Harry Potter book series, she decided to challenge a hate speech law out in Scotland where she lives. And she did it to make a point, because the text of this bill that just went into effect on April 1st, which you once you hear about what's in this, you probably wish it were an April Fool's joke. It says that any kind of act that, quote, stirs up hatred against a group of persons that happen to have certain characteristics, and we're talking about age, disability, religion, or in the case of a social or culture group, perceived religious, sexual orientation, transgender identity, and variations in sex characteristics, whatever that even means. The maximum penalty that you can get for, quote unquote, stirring up hatred against a group of persons would be 7 years in jail. And so J.K. Rowling decided in a thread on X to list multiple biologically male criminals who then claimed to be transgender right before they were getting sentenced to a jail term. And she did that because she wanted to make a point about, well, are you going to protect these people from, you know, having anger stirred up against them? And she's someone who, of course, on the topic of gender identity, she has become controversial to the radical left. She says things that are reasonable, non-controversial, like women are women, men are men. Men, did you know, cannot, in fact, get pregnant, things like that. And, of course, radicals hate her. So she went over to her account and tweeted all these things. And then she switched her rhetoric and declared, only kidding. Obviously, the people mentioned in the above tweets aren't women at all, but men, every last one of them. So she'll obviously try to poke the bear on trans issues, because she knows that this makes folks on the radical left's heads explode. She then slammed the hate speech bill directly, saying that, quote, if what I've written here qualifies as an offense under the terms of the new act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of the Scottish Enlightenment. Now, the BBC reported on Tuesday afternoon that the police decided that that the tweets will not be treated as criminal, which was kind of the point that she wanted to make. She then responded because according to the letter of the law, she was most certainly in violation. According to the letter of the law. And remember, in Scotland, it's not like they have a First Amendment the way that we do here. She then tweeted afterwards, I hope every woman in Scotland who wishes to speak up for the reality and importance of biological sex will be reassured by this announcement. And I trust that all women, irrespective of profile or financial means, will be treated equally under the law. So in other words, she's saying, look, if you do precisely what it is I did, which is just list a whole bunch of people, pretend that their gender is not what it actually is because of a way that they identify, especially in this case where she's talking about people who are very clearly misidentifying their gender for special treatment or for, you know, some kind of sympathy, I suppose. If that's no longer going to justify police involving themselves in a claim around this anti-free speech bill or anti-speech bill, I would just say, then if they're not going to do it to me, they're not going to do it to you. And if they do it to you and they didn't do it to me for something that's the same, well, kudos to you, because now you get to sue them, and you'll probably, despite it being Scotland, they still have a similar system in lawsuits. So go ahead and file one against them for being mistreated. Simple. And then she followed up with another tweet. If they can go after any woman for simply calling a man, I'll repeat that woman's words and they can charge us both at once. Because what people did in response to this was say, well, of course, they're not going to go after you because you're powerful, you're wealthy, you're a celebrity. So, you know, they said they'll go after, you know, Jane Schmo or Joe Schmo, who would say something that if you say you'll be fine, but if they say they won't. So she basically said, okay, then I'll say whatever it is that gets someone else in trouble. If it's the equivalent of an example I just gave. You know, she's probably not going to respond to or repeat someone who says, let's go beat a whole bunch of people up because of the gender identity. She's not going to do that. That's her main point. And I think that she was right and somewhat brave to actually do that. You know, she's got, not that I believe in the whole privilege thing, but she's got the bank account of someone who can take these kinds of risks and not really care how it's perceived, because this is something that she truly believes in. And I'm glad that she does. She's passionate about this issue, as I think any reasonable person would be. But she knows she can't be canceled. I mean, if she never worked another day again in her life, if she never picked up a pencil or a pen or fired up that laptop or typewriter, she would be financially set for not just her own life, but the next several generations of her family. Right. I don't know if she's got kids, but her kids will be set up just from the amount of money that she made off of the Harry Potter series, just off of that. Now, I know that she still writes. And so, you know, I don't think she wants to go without having a job or without a creative outlet. But she knows that she's in a position where she can risk getting, quote unquote, canceled because it's not really going to mean anything to her, period. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, it takes people like that to step up for people to take these issues seriously and really get a conversation going. And that's why she is so villainized, that she's getting a conversation going, right? She's someone who, because she took a frankly non-controversial stand, she created the debate in a very significant way. And she put herself on the line, not just from an academic standpoint, but you'll recall that there were threats against her life, against her family. There was the doxing that was going on. It's pretty despicable how she gets treated. And she was treated that way because she dared to say something that radicals don't like. And when you do that, you risk your own safety sometimes. You certainly might risk your livelihood. And in some of the extreme cases, you remember, you're dealing with radicals. That they are extremists. And that's somehow how they respond. And so that she came up in such a big way and not only did it once, but did it 100 more times, talking about the differences between men and women and standing up for biological women in, you know, competitions against biological men who identify as women. She really put herself on the line from a safety perspective. And she suffered the consequences in part, at least from a threat level assessment. I don't recall her being, you know, physically attacked, thank God. But she decided to do that to make a point and to get the conversation started. They wanted to silence her by bullying her. And she said, okay, fine. I'm going to continue. I'm just going to be louder now. You've made me even more upset and more likely to speak up and say something. So I'm going to do the opposite of what you intended to have done to me, which is to silence me. Instead, I'm going to be screaming it from the mountaintops. And we are all better off. Society is better off because she made that decision, that brave decision. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You've been listening to The Jason Rance Show.